thing. We got lots of ideas. The singles ministry, the ladies, Miss Alicia, we are collaborating and working on some things together. And so prayerfully, we will have an awesome time. Mark your calendars, February 28th and 29th of 2020. We want to start the year off with a bang. Amen. We were in morning prayer this morning at PCA. We pray together on Mondays. And it was raining this morning, and as all of you could see. And one of the ladies said this. She says, things grow from the rain. Things grow from the rain. And so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. The rain in our lives, how God causes things to grow. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James. To the book of James. We're going to talk about chapter 1 a little bit. Just one verse, verse 4. But things grow in the rain. This book, the epistle of James, is, many commentators say that is Jesus' half-brother. They have a few different James, but after a little study, I do agree that is Jesus' half-brother. And he penned this to the tribes of Israel, but also to believers already. Not so much so to new believers, but to people that already accepted Christ into their lives. Because he doesn't talk about so much the basic things of Christianity, but he goes on to the next step. Like, once you're saved, then what's next? And so this is what James is talking about. He's talking to anybody that is in here who wants to be a little bit more mature than you were yesterday. All right? So let's go ahead and read, starting at verse 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This is our scripture right here. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So keep in mind, I'm supposed to be in the book of Proverbs, but God arrested me and put me in this scripture tonight. He arrested me. He says, let patience have her perfect work. James is talking to all of the tribes. He says, count it all joy. Every time that you fall into any type of diverse temptations, any trial that you go through, count it joy. As you think about it, count it joy. Count all of it joy. The good things and the bad things, the unfortunate things, the sometimes may not be a good thing, count all of it joy. He says, when you fall into diverse temptations, which diverse means many, numerous temptations. And James has an authority in this as he pins this under the authenticity of the Holy Spirit. Because at this point, James, when we hear about Jesus on the scene, James has already lost his father. So he's already experienced a loss. He's not only lost his father, but he's seen his half-brother, Jesus, being crucified and buried and rose again. So he has experienced many things. So when he says, count it all joy. So James is remembering whenever he lost his brother and lost his father. And he can still say in this epistle to other believers that's going through, he says, count it all joy. If I can lose my father, if I can lose my half-brother being persecuted for something that he did not do, and I can count it all joy for whatever trial you're going through today, count it all joy. Amen? Count it all joy. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, it works patience. He says, knowing this, that the trial, the circumstance, the pain, the loss, the heartache, any bad thing that you're going through, it works patience in your life. You see, we all start off with a level of patience. But every trial is sent to increase us in patience. Only in the rain does God cause things to grow. Only in the rain. The Amplified Version of verse 4 says, "And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing." Can I tell you that the only way to grow is through trial and test? Can I tell you the only way to grow is through trial and testing? You know, we would love to think that we can grow without a test. We can grow without pain. But can I tell you that this is the method that God chooses to use? But the Apostle James says, "Count it all joy. Though we sow in tears, we shall reap in joy." Okay? So God sees you on your bed crying. He sees you waiting. He sees the heartache. He sees the pain. He sees the strain. He sees the longing, the waiting, the loss, everything that you are going through. He says, though you are sowing in tears, you shall reap in joy. But listen to me good. The trial is the process. The trial is the process. And just like Jesus said, he says, "I must needs go through Samaria." We have to go through our trial, y'all. We cannot get away or outside of our trial. We must go through it. It is the only way that God can work a complete work in us. You see, and we can't even escape trouble, because we all say in the scriptures, John 16:33, we know it all so well. The Bible says in John 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." He says, "But in the world you shall have tribulation." But he says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You will have trouble. But the thing about trouble is that trouble draws us inward. Trial know how to get everything that's not supposed to be in us out of us. But not only does it draw us inward, it draws us to our Lord and Savior. Because when all hell has broken loose and there's nothing going right in our lives, all we get to do is fall down on our knees and cry. He is the only thing that could help us come out of a situation. But in our verse tonight, verse 4, the Bible says, "But," yes, we all go through trials and faith works our patience. But he says, "But," to contrast, he says, Let here is a verb. And a verb describes an action. So this let right here means to allow it, to permit it, to give authorization to your trial. Because I know a lot of you in here, like me, we are very strong people. And if we can maneuver ourselves out of a situation, we will maneuver ourselves out a situation. See, I have this philosophy, there are no closed doors, because I am going to find a way out of it. But the problem with that mindset is sometimes God wants to close the door. And sometimes God wants us to stay in that trial so he can work some things out of us. Don't stop your trial. Now get this. Don't even rush your trial. How many times many of us say, "Lord, just get me through this. If I can get through this, make it quick." But God doesn't even want us to rush it. You know why he doesn't want us to rush it? Because he's cooking something. He's cooking something in us. And listen, I don't know about you. I don't like no food uncooked. He's cooking something in us. Don't rush it. Don't, woman of God, manipulate your way out of your trial. Don't try to control it. Don't avoid it, but let it. Let it. Tell your neighbor, say, let it. Let it. Let it. Don't try to outsmart it, but let it. Let it. And let what? Let patience. Let patience. This patience in the original language is hypomone. Hypomone, which means to bear under it. So when you have a trial that you're facing, a loss of despair, a financial strain, God says, bear under it. Stop trying to figure out, cut corners, do this, do that, bear under it, because I'm working something in you. Many times we try to escape it. He says, patience, perseverance. This literally means not only bearing under it, but while you're under the trial, clinging to Christ. Because it is one thing to just bear under your trial, bear under your strain, but it's another thing to, when you bear under it, that you cling to the Lord. Cling to the Lord. Hypomone. Yes, I know it hurts. I know it hurts. And I know it seems forever. But every week that you wait on what you are waiting on, God is working something in you. And you cannot have it quicker than you want it, because it's not ready yet. You're not ready yet. It's like having a baby too soon. You know, when we have a baby too soon, you know what we call it? Premature. But you see, when God is working in us, he wants us to be fully mature and ready to receive what he has for us. He says, let it work. Let it work. You see, Christ had the same patience. In Hebrews 12, 2, the Bible says, who for the joy set before him endured, bared under the cross. Even though it was heavy, even though it was weighty, he bared under it. Can you imagine if he wouldn't have stayed? Where would we be? What songs would we be able to sing? It would be no crowns to wear, because he would have given up. You see, some of you are at the point where you want to give up. You're talking to God. God, I can't believe you forgot about me. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for this breakthrough. God says, no, you are not ready yet. I'm still cooking, and it is important to wait on it. You will cry. Yes, you will cry. You will feel your faith decrease sometimes. Yes. You're going to think that God has forgotten about you. Well, I want to tell you right now, God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about you. God has been preparing situations and orchestrating different things in your life and around your life for you for this moment, so that you can be encouraged. He says, don't rush my trial. Don't rush my test. Don't try to manipulate and do things on your own, but wait. Just wait, because I'm working something in you that cannot come out of you if you do it on your own. Tell your neighbor, say, I can't do it on my own. Yeah, 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 yeah. He says, hypomone. But it's not just bearing under it. It's knowing that God is dealing with us for good. You see, only a good father chastises his own children, the Bible says. God is dealing with us for good. Because he loves us so much, he uses the strength and energy to whip us. But while we are getting whipped, we can't do like when we were younger and run around the bed a few times so that we don't get the lick. We got to bend over and take the lick. Bend over and take the lick because he's working something in you. He wants in distress for you to bear under it. He wants, if you are in undeserved affliction right now, he says, bear under it. He says, if you are being ridiculed in some fashion, bear under it. He says, if you are in financial strain, bear under it. Because he's working in you. If you are lonely, he says, bear under it. He says, if you are having marital arguments, bear under it. He's working. Too many times we want to do it ourselves. But you know, when we do it ourselves, it does not turn out right. God wants us to tarry. You see, we're strong women, all of us. I think all of y'all are just strong women. And sometimes we don't know how to wait on the Lord. We want to take matters into our own hands. And sometimes because of life circumstances, we have to do that. But when God is whipping us, he wants us to sit down steady and get your licks. Hypomony. Woman of God, you can't control this. Did you hear me? You cannot control this. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I don't like to say that I'm a little controlling, but I guess I am because others have told it to me. But, you know, God will put you in a situation where you cannot control anything. Just so that you can trust him. Just so that you can trust him. You cannot control it. You see, afflictions have a certain way of finding our weak spots. Wherever you are weak in, that's where the affliction goes. You see, Paul says he had gotten a revelation of the Lord, from the Lord, and he says, lest he is tempted with pride, the Lord put a thorn in his flesh. You see, God knew where he was weak at. Where are you weak at? What is your area? And sometimes other people have to tell it to us over and over and over again for us to hear because we are so clogged ears and stubborn. But sometimes God wants to speak to us directly and tell us, you have some areas in your life that I will keep whipping you and whipping you and whipping you until it is removed. And he will not stop until it is out of the way. It is out of your heart. And he is not a bad God for doing it. He's a good, good father. Because when I see things in my children, I whip them, yes, but I'm doing it because I love them so much. So whenever he's whipping you, say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this trial. I know that you're working something out of me. I know that you're working this pride out of me. I know that you are working this lack of compassion out of me. I know that you are working this controlling spirit out of me, and you have put me at a vulnerable spot where I can't do anything but look up to the Lord. Let patience have its perfect work. Yeah, afflictions find our weak spot. It is in afflictions that we discover our failures. That we discover where we are weak and where God wants to increase us. And can I tell you that, yes, God is with us in our successes. He's with us when we do good. You see, we always want to live at the top. But you see, the thing about it is the Bible says that we have fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. In Philippians 3:10, the Bible says that I might know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto death. What does that mean? That we get to connect with Christ when we suffer? We get to connect with him on a level that we would not connect with him when we are on the high hog. When we are going through, we connect with him because he bare the burden of the cross, so are we in our suffering. we can say, God, I understand. You know, you can't understand something sometimes unless you go through it. We try to relate to people, but if you've never gone through it, it is very hard and difficult. You see, God has put me through, I would like to say, 3 years of suffering. The first year, we are in 2019. In 2017, I didn't bring a picture of that, but I got this bad breakout on my leg. And I did not know what it was. I went to an allergist, and they ran all kinds of tests. And they were like, you are not allergic to anything, but I stopped drinking milk. I was just doing all kinds of things. That is whenever I got the revelation on eating healthy because of that. So I completely changed the way I was eating. But that was my first year of suffering. And just the changing of my eating, my leg got back. You guys didn't notice because I wore pants all the time. It was on this leg, and I thought it was the mercy of God not to put it on my arms or anything like that. But last year, around the same time, the Lord sent another trial my way. This one completely broke me down. I'm going to talk about it without crying. I got a boil on my back. I'm going to tell you when to show the picture, not yet. And it was so painful. And I would cry every single day. And I went to the doctor. They said, well, it was from a sweat gland. I was playing volleyball with the church. He said, I think it's from a bad sweat gland. And I don't know if any of you gotten a boil before, but it is the most painful thing. I had three babies, all natural, but I think that boil was worse. And the thing about the boil was, it was on my back. So I couldn't do anything. God was teaching me, trust me. Trust me. I put it on your back so you can't do anything. So I had to rely on Pastor. Well, he is a different character than I am. I am more. He is like, I think it's good. I think you're all right. I'm like, check it. We're at School of the Hebrews, in Houston or Dallas, in Houston. And at night, you guys don't know, but he's preaching in the day, and he's changing the bandages on my boil at night. But it was a very trying time. I cried every day. Every day. Because I could not. I went to the doctor. They said, you're just going to have to let the process happen. That is like death to me. It's killing to me to just let it happen. God said, but let it work. And he put it on my back so that I can get my own hands off of it. Who is this for tonight? I got a picture of it, but if you have a weak stomach, you may want to close your eyes because it is disgusting. Can you go ahead and show it? And this is the best picture. This is the best picture. I had some with the flesh, like the white part of your flesh showing. Pastor said, don't put that one, babe. But that was it, and that was on the healing part, but it was about this big, and it was raised. And it was so painful. You can get that off. You can get that off. I don't want the online people to see it, Jesus. God, have mercy. Thank you. But he put it on my back. Kim, you know, I talked to you many times during it. But he wanted me to stay under it. And you see, a few things, and after you go through something, you realize why God did it. One, the obvious is to trust him, Miss Flugence. You cannot control every situation. And can I tell you that even that experience, he's still using different things in my life to completely wean it out. So the first thing was trust. The second thing was to raise my level of compassion. You see, growing up, I wasn't a sick child. I did not have the measles. I did not have the mumps, the chicken pox, the Indian fire, or anything like that. So I didn't really have a lot of sick people around me. But you see, when you have sick people around you, you have a level of compassion that other people that never experienced sickness have. So he put me through those things both back-to-back, 2017 and 2018, so that he can raise my level of compassion. He says, I want you to weep with those that weep. He says, when there are sick people around you, I don't want you to, well, you should be okay. No, understand. Just like you were in that situation, they are in a situation that I have them going through. Understand, suffer with them. That was my test and my trial. 2019, yes, I did go through another trial. But not so much as sickness, praise God. But just waiting for something. How many of you in here are waiting for something? I want to tell you tonight, he's going to answer you. Ms. Liz, he's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he will do for you. Just wait. You don't know what he's working in you yet. Just wait. Wait on him. Don't rush it. Don't gripe about it. Don't murmur. Don't try to figure your way out of it. Just wait. He says, but let patience have her perfect. You see, there is a path that patience is taking. The path that patience is taking is to the way of perfection. This perfection in the original language is teleo. Teleo means full, end, the consummation, the end goal, the purpose of a thing. Does that word sound a little familiar? Teleo? It is finished. When Christ was on the cross, he said, teleo, it is finished. Let me tell you the power in that. The patience is working until you are finished. Until everything that Christ wants to get out of you is finished. He's not going to stop working on you, Chantel, and everybody in here until we are finished. And you see, we were born and shapen in iniquity, so we have a lot of sin in our hearts. So he have a lot of work to do. Right whenever we're coming out of a trial, say praise God. But guess what? We may be coming back because he is working. He said, my Father is always working. He's working in you. He says, teleo, let patience have her complete. That is what it means, that complete work. You see, when we try to overshot it or overshoot it and try to go around it, we are becoming obstructive to the actual path of patience. So picture it like this. Patience is working. Patience is working. But you put a kink in patience. You put something so the patience got to go back. And so, okay, all right, I'm going to try this again. So you're going through another trial again. Okay, she tried to figure it out herself. I'm going to go back. All right, I'm going to try her this year. I'm going to go again. Okay, no, she's actually put a border up, a boundary, so I can't pass and get that controlling spirit out of her, that manipulation out of her, that fear out of her, so I'm going to come back. You see, but as we delay it to work, God can't use you the way that he wants to use you. Let patience have her perfect work. Get out of the way. Cry if you cry. If you're going to cry, shed some tears. I am a cry baby. And I do cry. But I'm going to take it up. Okay, God, I'm going to bear under it. It don't feel good. It don't sound good. I may be shame about it. I may have this. Every time I'm hugging people, they're doing this to my back. At church, yes. Everybody's like, hi, First Lady. I was like, hi. Y'all didn't know y'all were hugging me, and I had the boil on my back. Bear under it. Bear under it. And get everything that God is trying to get out of you, out of you. Don't stop it. We don't want to go around and around and around. I want to be done so that I can move from glory to glory. Chantel, I'm not going to deal with you on compassion again because you've gotten it. You can weep with those that weep. You understand when people are going through. Yes, let the patience complete its thing in you. Because you see, the thing about it is God is not going to stop until he get it out of you. What's in you that he wants to get out of you? What is it? You know what it is. Your mama been telling you what it is. Your sister, your friend, your husband, your boo, they've been telling you what it is. But you are holding on to it. God said, you will be clean. I'm going to make you to lie down in green pastures. I'm going to make you to lie down. Because you're always doing it your own self. But I'm going to make you to lie down. And oh my God, he can make us to lie down, Raina. And look, let me tell you something. When God make us to lie down, we can't get up. You see, like my little boy says this thing. He says, you know, my mama told him that one time he was moving around at the house. And my mama told him, sit down. So he imitates her. He says, like Nanny say, sit down. And so we all do it around the house. Sit down. That's what God tells some of us. Sit down. Sit down. I'm trying to get it out of you. That thing that you are protecting and that you are holding is gross, is disgusting. It looks like that boil, and I want it out. I want it out. And look, you and your husband, y'all going through over and over and over again. Yes, because you will not submit. I want it out. I want you to trust. I want it out. You will submit to the authority that I've placed over you, woman of God. You will submit. You will submit whether you like it or you don't like it. God says, I want it out. And look, you could get it out the first year of marriage. You could get it out the second year of marriage. You could get it out the 20th year of marriage, but you're going to keep going through that roller coaster ride until it is out of you. But he wants it out. Like that song says, he wants it all. He wants it all. Yeah. But patience, let it have her perfect work. You see, this perfect, we see it several times in the scriptures. In Matthew 5:48, I'm hot, y'all. Thank you, Miss Chandra. It could be just me, y'all. It could be me. It's just me. Oh, God, I'm sweating and everything. All right. I'm hot. I'm 40.
There's a little hot flash going on, maybe.
All right. So Matthew 5:48, the Bible says, be therefore perfect. This is the same perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. You see, the scripture is comparing this word perfect to something or someone that is perfect. So right here, the Bible is saying, be ye therefore complete, finish, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is complete, finished. You see that here is the same type of Greek language. In Romans 12, 2, we love this scripture. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, God's will is complete, is finished. He wants us to be perfect like the will of God. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the law of God, which is the law of liberty, is the law of grace right here. That law is perfect. In 1 John 4:8, the Bible says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Comparing it to God's love, it is perfect. Oh, I may have given you guys the wrong one. I'm sorry about that. But it is comparing the perfect, the agape love, to what God wants us to be. Perfect. But you see, patience alone is not sufficient. It's not enough. God wants you to get all the lessons that you need to get. Because some of us have lack of faith. He's going to work a situation all the time in your life until you believe him, until you believe what his word says, until you stop believing what the TV says and you believe what his word says. He's going to keep bringing situations in your life so that you can believe him, so that you can believe him. He is wanting you to get all the lessons. There are many lessons, but most of us, we don't take any notes. We're like some of these kids at school, always want to retest. But God said, I want you to learn it this time. Learn it this time. But look at the scripture with me. The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work. Let it have her perfect work. Let it finish the work. Let it be fully developed. It's going to produce some things in you and out of you. I went all over my notes, y'all. I didn't already cover this. Praise God. But some of us have erroneous or, ill thought patterns. God wants you to get out of and to get rid of. You're always negative. He says, I'm going to keep sending issues in your life, whether it's depression, whether it's some type of mental attack on your mind, until you get a grasp of it. Some of us are so prideful that he's going to continue to shame us until we say, I am not going to depend upon my own strength. He want to get the pride out of you. You see, we grew up thinking pride was a good thing. Yes, we're black and we're proud. Yes, all of that is good. But the wicked pride that's on the inside of us, he wants it out of us. He'll allow us to lose a loved one, to teach us true appreciation and make no idols of man. You see, and God is not like us. You know, he doesn't, you know, if he has to take something or someone out, he's not like us. He's going to do it. The Bible says, I kill and I make alive. I give and I take away. He'll allow physical sickness so that we can take care of our temples. He'll allow high blood pressure and diabetes so we can take care of our temples. But yet we stay in the high blood pressure without learning the lesson patience is trying to work on you. But you are not allowing it to work. In every trial, there is a lesson. There is a lesson. Will you continue to take your blood pressure pills every day but not learn the lesson that you're eating trash? What is the lesson? Every trial will bring you closer to Him. What is it? What trial? Is it a financial trial? God's saying, be a better steward of what I give you. If you've made an idol of money and don't know that money is just a tool, I will take it away from you. I will strip you of your security because you've used money as security. I am going to strip you of it so that you do not depend upon it, and I'm going to make you without and not have and put you in a bad situation because you have trusted on money. You have trusted on money. We have to move beyond trusting and relying on money. It is a tool, woman of God. It is a tool to get things, to purchase things, but not to secure us spiritually and emotionally. And you could tell if money is gripping you where your attitude changes whether you have it or don't have it. If you're a boudet because you're broke, then maybe money has a grip on you. If you're happy when you have it, then money has a grip on you. Money should not control your emotions. Be free. God says, I'm gonna keep you in a state of lack because you love it too much. And we're not supposed to put anything before Him. He says, love the Lord thy God, and Him only shall we serve. But look at it here to finish up. The Bible says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, and entire, wanting nothing. This perfect and entire is without fault. God wants us to be without fault. All of the imperfections, all of the gunk that we have, He says, I want you to be without fault, without any blemishes. So I'm going to keep whipping you until we get it out. Isn't that sad, y'all? When He spoke that to me, Amy, I said, golly, that means I'm going to get a lot of whippings. Because we have a lot of stuff. And we want things our way, right away, quickly, and we don't want anybody to get in the way. Thomas Manton says this. He says, the trial is not only to approve your faith, because keep it in mind, it's increasing your faith, but it's to improve you. It's to improve you. Trials is going to make you better. You want to get out of it, but it's making you better. It's making you a better person. So every time you go through something, you're becoming a better person. So why would we rush it if God is making us better? Don't rush the chicken. Let the chicken cook through and through. The Bible says in Job 23:10, He knows the way I take. When He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knows the way that we take, and after He tries us, we're going to come out as gold. But sometimes we backtalk, we talk about the people that God is using to get it out of us. How many of us have gotten mad at somebody that told us about ourselves? Come on, just two people up in here. But the person that you are mad at for telling you about yourself, that is the tool that God is using. But you're boo-day about them and mad, giving them the cold shoulder, you know, if it's your husband sleeping at the end of the bed. If it's a friend in church passing the other way to get to your seat. But God is using them. We got to do better at receiving. We take everything as an offense. Not everything is an offense. Because you see, count it all joy. Regardless if somebody tells you something and they had bad intent, God is working that bad intent still. You see, we shouldn't go that deep trying to figure out, well, she don't like me, so that's why she told me that. Who cares? What did she say? We're so worried about who said it that we miss what God is trying to do. So patience going to have to come back. Well, I tried to tell her through this one. Every time we don't receive it, patience will come back. Because God, you see, just like the word of God, the Bible says, I sent it out to do what I intended for it to do. Patience is sent out. The work of it is sent out to do in you what God wants out of you. But if we reject it, if we nullify it in any type of way, patience is going to revisit you. I don't want patience knocking on my door. I'm putting that loam out on patience. So whatever patience is sending, I want to get it first time, every time. Because it's going to come, but I want to get it. I don't want to be so stubborn that I don't get what God is saying. Can we not be stubborn as women of God? Can we get it? Can we unclog the ears and stop with the pride that nobody can't tell us nothing? They could tell you something. Well, you see, if you keep putting the cold shoulder, God is not going to be able to use you. We're going to the complete and finished work. He wants us without any spot, any blemish. If we hold on to those things, the blemishes remain. Wanting nothing, the scripture ends with, which literally means nothing being left behind. He wants the residue of the old you out of you. He wants the residue of the old you out of you. Everything that you have that he does not want, he wants it out of you. That is the end goal of patience. If you even resemble your old ways and that old stinky attitude, God said, I'm going to have to send a trial that way because I want her better. I want her better. The Bible says, but let patience have its perfect work. Charles Spurgeon says this to close. He calls it sanctified trials. He calls it sanctified trouble, which means that the trial and the trouble is meant to sanctify us, is meant to cleanse us. So whenever we go through loss, heartache, financial strain, marital stress, just, oh God, I'm with a sanctified trouble. I know it's sanctifying me. I know it's purifying me. But I know when I get out of this, I'm going to be good as gold. I'm going to be with how you want me to walk without any blemishes. Sanctified trials. Only through the rain do things grow. Only through the rain. And I'm going to close with this one scripture. Knowing this, that God says in the Psalms, in Psalm, I think it's 50, he says, call upon me in the time of your trouble, and I will deliver thee, and you shall praise me. He says, when you're in your trouble, as you're bearing under it, he says, call upon him. And, you know, if you are not in a trial tonight, save this lesson because it's coming. But it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Let us go to the Lord in prayer.